So we are in our fifth week of the series, Getting Your House in Order, where we've been preparing our hearts for Jesus. Because as we know from Scripture, when we become believers in Jesus Christ, He makes His home within each one of us. Ephesians 3:16 through 17 says, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. So then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Christ literally lives within each one of us. And so that's the image we've been using for this series. We are surrendering each one of the rooms in our homes, in our hearts, to Christ. In the kitchen, we surrender our appetites and priorities. In the living room, we surrendered our relationships. Last week, Carrie took us to take a look in our closets, and we surrendered our secret and subtle sins. And this week, we are looking at the bedroom. And what will we be talking about in the bedroom? Sex, yes, 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 it is. It's a little hard to say out loud, isn't it? Yes. Especially in church. All right, let's try a little activity for me, if you wouldn't mind. You guys just repeat after me. Everybody say priorities.
Priorities.
Everybody say friends.
Friends.
Say family.
Family.
Sins.
Sins.
Sex. I wish you guys could see what I see from over here. This is quite fun. The different reactions that everybody has. Some people just put their head down, and some people start laughing. You see big smiles. Almost reminds me of like your mom gives you permission to do something you know is naughty. When Maria and I, a while back, started thinking about just some of the things we teach the boys, and you know, one of the things we recently started getting into now that they're kind of gaining some independence is we want them to be able to take care of themselves. So we thought we should practice teaching them how to yell, should heaven forbid someone approach them and try to take them away. Because our boys have been trained kind of not to disrespect adults, not to yell at them. And so we thought it'd be a good idea. Let's practice, right? So we get them all around the kitchen table, and you have permission to yell at an adult. So if someone grabs you, what are you going to do? And we gave them permission to yell. You know they couldn't yell? They couldn't stop giggling. It's not that they weren't able to yell. I mean, my boys are loud boys, but they couldn't stop giggling enough to actually do something that they knew mom and dad normally didn't let them do. Sometimes we kind of treat sex like that, right? And you might be thinking to yourself, now, surely, Bucky, you're not talking about putting sex in the same category with using your inside voice. I'm not necessarily doing that, but I think sometimes we do as a Christian culture. at least we have with our kids. We have placed sex in the same category as drugs, alcohol, bad language, and vulgar music. Let's call it the no category, right? That's what we teach our kids, things you shouldn't do. But in reality, those topics don't belong together. Now, I think we can say without a shadow of a doubt, drugs are not in God's plan for your life. Bad language, vulgar music, again, not specifically part of God's plan for your life. But sex, most likely, is part of God's plan for your life. And it is definitely part of God's plan for your marriage. And I don't think we make this clear enough to our younger generation, that sex is good and that sex is a gift from God. The problem is that, like many things that God intended for our good, Satan and this world, and sometimes we have taken this beautiful part of His plan and we've corrupted it. We've made it into something bad, something it was never meant to be. And as a result of that corruption, it's now almost inescapable, right? It's in magazines, it's on billboards, it's on television, it's in art, it's a part of our conversations at work, it's in jokes, it's everywhere. And so in our attempts to separate ourselves from the world, I believe Christians have wrongly surrendered this topic to the world. We've allowed them to claim it as their own, and we actually take pride sometimes in the fact that we don't talk about it. You know, don't talk about it. We don't do that kind of thing. And if you were ever blessed to have the talk with your mom or dad, right? If you're ever blessed to have that, think about that moment for a minute. Probably goes down as one of the most awkward, uncomfortable conversations of your life. You know, I was the third son and a line of three boys. There was no talk. There was no conversation. All my father ever said to me, as he dropped me off at my college dorm at DePaul, and he only said this because it was at that point that he realized it was a co-ed dorm, it was a co-ed floor, and my RA was, in fact, a female. He just looked at me and he said, "Bucky, keep it zipped." And I said, "Okay, Dad, okay, I didn't want to have the conversation, that's enough," right? And that was the talk, you know? That's how we describe it in our culture. And I've got friends that are now have children that age. You know, I ask them, "Did you have the talk?" "Yeah, I'm going to have the talk on this day." That's how we describe it. Like there's only ever going to be one of them. "I had the talk. Don't talk about it anymore. Don't say the S word. Someone brings it up. La, 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 la. The whole nine yards." But you know what? God made sex to be good. And word has kind of gotten around. And if we think we can hide it from the next generation, we're foolish. So let's stop avoiding the topic, take it back from the world, and place it in the context that God created it to be, its proper context, right? So what is God's plan for sex? First and foremost, it is to happen between a man and a woman, and only in the context of marriage. 1 Corinthians 7, 1-4 says, "Now regarding the questions you asked in your letter, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations, but because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife." Now, I love that one of these teachings on sexual relationships happens with this beginning. "Now, regarding the questions you asked in your last letter," when you have loved to get your hands on that letter, I think it's pretty safe to assume that sex has been a hot topic ever since Adam and Eve. But here Paul is saying that there is a lot of sexual immorality out there, and the cure for sexual immorality is marriage. Right? Because there is so much sexual immorality, we should have husbands and we should have wives. That's the cure for it. That means that any sex that happens outside of that context is sexual immorality. Sex with a girlfriend, sex with a boyfriend, sex with a fiance, sex with yourself, yes, I said that out loud, sex with anyone but your husband or your wife is sexual immorality. I can't promise that I won't giggle. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean that it's not true. I'm right there with you, Yvonne. It's okay. Let me say that again. I don't want it to get lost. Sex with anyone but your husband or your wife is sexual immorality. And is that really in Scripture? Absolutely. It's in Acts. It's in 1 Corinthians. It's in 2 Corinthians. It's in Galatians. It's in Ephesians. It's in Colossians. It's in Thessalonians. And it's in Jude. It's also in Hebrews 13:4, "Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery." And let's be clear on what sex is. It doesn't just mean sexual intercourse. So those of you out there going, "Does this count? Is this okay? How far can I go before it actually counts?" Let me be very clear. Actually, let's let Scripture be very clear. Ephesians 5, 3-5. "But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Whatever you might be thinking is a loophole to sex, it's not. Scripture says, not even a hint of sexual immorality. So whatever you want to call it, because I'm certainly not going to stand up here today and list all of the names of the possibilities that it might be. But whatever you're thinking, it's considered sex, and it's reserved for the marriage bed, even if you have your clothes on. Okay? I know there are a lot of things out there that you could be thinking of. Let's just categorize it all as for the marriage bed. Now, I know the problem with this kind of thing is, you know, we simply don't like to be told no. And especially we don't like to be told no when we think the thing we're being told no about will bring us pleasure, right? We want what we want when we want it. We are selfish people. And if you tell me no, it just makes me want it more. Kind of like a child. I want you to think about a child or a toddler in a stove, right? You can just hear mom or dad saying, oh, no, no, honey. No, no, the stove is hot. Don't touch it. What does the toddler want to do then? Touch the stove, right? Because you drew attention to it. Let's touch it. What's going to happen? They're going to get burned. Because we want what we want when we want it. And if somebody tells us no, it just makes us want it more. Until we have enough of those touch the stove moments and we get burned and we realize, oh, well, next time dad says don't do something, I'm not going to do it. Because I don't want to get burned like that. And really, that's the point, or what I'm hoping to achieve today up here. If you're listening to me today and you're thinking what I'm talking about is old-fashioned or impossible or doesn't make sense or whatever, first, I want you to know it is possible. And second to that, I want you to know I'm trying to keep you from being burned or being burned again. So, I'm also trying to keep you from doing something you're going to regret. And why would you regret it? Well, first and foremost, because sex is a sin outside of marriage, and it drives a wedge between us and God. The Holy Spirit has a way of convicting us when we sin, and that conviction never seems to be pleasant. We may try to ignore it and pretend like it's not there, but it does not go away until we seek forgiveness from God. Secondly, we might regret sex because it is powerful. Sex changes us, and you will never be the same. 1 Corinthians 6:15-17. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So that means no matter what you want sex to be, sex can never just be a physical thing or a casual thing. Sex is a spiritual connection. It's where two people become one. Here in this passage, it relates sex with a prostitute in the same way it relates sex with a husband and a wife. There is no such thing as just sex. At any time you have sex, you're joining bodies and spirits and personalities and souls, and you are changed forever. Sex is a big deal. The analogy Paul goes to here now is he talks about our connection with Christ and how that changes us. So here in the same part, he's talking about just like you are changed through Christ, you can be changed in other ways. Sex is that powerful. If you think it's not a big deal, think again. Now, just for a moment, I'd like to address anyone that thinks it might be too late for them. And if you find yourself in this category, I want you to know, flat out, there is hope for new life again. It's not that you can go back and erase what's already happened. Those memories and experiences do not magically disappear. Sex is powerful, like I said, and it has no doubt changed you in some way. But it is possible to have new life, a spiritual do-over, right? Nicodemus once posed this question to Jesus. He said, how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Physical rebirth is obviously impossible. There's no physical way to do it. It's even a little weird to think about. Think about the question that he posed to Jesus. He meant it too. Listen to Jesus' response. John 3:6. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. So while physical rebirth is not possible, spiritual rebirth is. And this new life from heaven is possible for you. It doesn't deny the past. It transforms it. A second chance, spiritual rebirth, new life, whatever you want to call it, means there are no limitations to what you can become. Where you are, what you've done, what's been done to you, no longer define who you are. The God of the universe, who made everything out of nothing, can take your past and make it into something brand new. And something beautiful. Maybe even you might be thinking that you've been through things that are too much. You've been living in this sin for too long. If something inside you tells you you've been living inside this sin for too long to go back to that kind of do-over, I want you to know that's a lie. You can. 1 Corinthians 9:6-11 says, "Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy, and you were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Some of you were once like that, but not anymore. You were made cleaned, you were made right. It is possible, if you have done wrong, to be made right again through Jesus." I'd also like to take just a brief time to talk to those women who have had sex used against them. Because this beautiful expression of God's love that he has given us has also been perverted by men to abuse women. And that too was never, ever part of God's plan. Whenever we don't use sex the way God has intended it to be used, someone has to pay a price. And I know there are people in this room who have had to pay an awful, horrible price because of the sin and the evilness of men. Some of you may have never known a trustworthy man. Some of you maybe can't even be touched because of what's been done to you. And I don't know if this is even possible, but on behalf of all men who desire to live life the way God has called us to, I want to apologize to you. On behalf of men, I am sorry for what's been done to you. It was never God's plan that sex be used against you, that you would have to experience a horrific event, and I praise God that he is a just God, and he will handle who has wronged you with perfect justice. And I never want to be on the other side of God's justice. God's grace? Yeah. God's justice? Never. And thank God that there was healing at the cross of Jesus Christ, that rebirth and new life is possible for you through his sacrifice. And if today you're saying to yourself that I need more of that, I need to be healed from this in a new way, I would encourage you to come and talk to Carrie. I would also encourage you to come and talk to myself, but I know healing from this means that you need to be healed from dealing with men. And praise God, one of the beautiful things about Northside is you have both a male and a female pastor. And both of us are here willing, wanting to help point anyone in God's direction. But I know, as I stand up here before you and preach on this message of how wonderful God intended sex to be in your life, I know for some of you it's hard to hear because of that, because of what others have done. And so as I talk through this next section of the way God intended sex to be, I don't want you to think that I forgot about you. And I don't want you to think that God has forgotten about you. God really did impress upon me this week that there needs to be healing in this church in that direction. And even better than that, God really did impress upon me this week that there will be healing in this area, that he has got a plan for people in this church, and that plan includes healing from things that you didn't even think were possible. So let's get to it. Talking about sex and marriage, because we've been talking about why we can't and when we can't. Let's talk about when and why we should. Because once again, God made sex in marriage to be a good thing. Sex and marriage. God intended this. I know the first thing you did was look up there and see who that was. Can you identify that person? It's it was the blonde hair, right? No cameras there. God intended sex and marriage for lots of reasons. But the most obvious, of course, is procreation. Genesis 1:28 says, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over it with the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground.'" God's plan is that sex would help us fill the earth with our children and with our families, and that we would have dominion over it. See, God desires fellowship not with just a few people, but with lots and lots of people. He wants us to have children and families. How many? Enough to fill the earth. That's a lot of kids. Second purpose that God has for giving us sex is intimacy. Song of Solomon 3:1. One night, as I lay in my bed, I yearned for my lover. How about that? That's not a trashy novel. That's the Word of God. Sex creates a closeness between two people that is not possible in any other way. Song of Solomon 2:6. Let his left hand be under my head and his right hand embrace me. It's a desire to be with your spouse, to be close to them and to enjoy them and to enjoy their touch. Song of Solomon 2:14. My dove is hiding behind the rocks, behind an outcrop of the cliff. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is pleasant and your face is lovely. Doesn't it sound like young love, right? Sounds good, doesn't it? I love your face. I love your voice. I love your hair. I love everything about you. I love your shoes. I love the way that you smile and the little vein on your head. It sounds like puppy love. But it's not describing puppy love. It's describing the intimacy that's possible when a man and a woman in marriage are committed to experiencing sex the way God intended it to be experienced, as a regular way of keeping the intimacy in your marriage. God's intention is that our marriage be characterized by deep intimacy, and He wants that for every single marriage. But of course, sometimes we, or other people, or other things can get in the way of that intimacy. And if you find yourself in a marriage where the intimacy, not just on a sexual level, but on a personal level, is not there, right? Maybe you don't long to see their face. Maybe that little vein on their head has started to annoy you instead of, you know, you think it's cute anymore. Then I would take a look at the pattern of your pattern of sex with your spouse. Does something need to be worked on in the bedroom? Because God's plan for fixing that kind of intimacy does involve sex. It's not just about the sex, but sex is a part of that plan for fixing the intimacy in a marriage. So if there is a reason why the sex is not happening in your marriage, then I would suggest you get to the bottom of that reason. Because without solving it, you will slowly drift further and further apart until trying to have sex becomes so unfamiliar to you and too awkward that it becomes uncomfortable to try. Let's look at some of those reasons why it could possibly become too awkward. I told you I'm talking about it all today. I like it to see it back there happening. All right, trouble with intimacy and sex in marriage could be because, number one, very simply, somebody's not remaining pure in the marriage. That could mean plain and simple adultery. Having sex with someone other than your spouse, outside of marriage. It could mean that you're trying to be intimate, flirty, maybe even on a casual level with someone else in hopes that it leads to adultery. You know, sometimes we feel our relationship with our spouse is so far gone that it's not worth investing in anymore. And so we go looking for other relationships to invest in, right? Sometimes it's romantic, right? Sometimes it leads that direction. But sometimes it could even be as simple as our kids, right? We can pretend like our marriage is about only our children. Right? We can disconnect from that marriage, that spouse relationship, and we can just invest it all in the kids. Like you're married to a business partner, and the business is just raising children. That's why so many marriages end up splitting after the kids have grown up and left, because that was the purpose of the marriage. And so once it's done, there's no point in the marriage. Sometimes it takes on a selfish twist, and the person we go off looking to invest in is ourselves. Right? That's where workaholism sometimes comes in. Sometimes that's where pornography comes in and it traps people. Let me tell you, pornography will ruin the sex in your marriage and will ruin your marriage itself. It is not part of God's plan. It is sexual immorality and it is only self-serving and you can get trapped in it. If you find yourself there, you need to get out of it. If you don't know how to do that, you can't do that on your own, please, please, please start by sharing it with your spouse. Confess it. And let's talk about ways to get you free. There are so many ways to get free of that. And if you think it's not bondage, all you have to do is try to stop. And the next time it pulls you back in, you will know you are trapped by it. And if your spouse is trapped in pornography, let me empower you for a moment. 1 Corinthians 7:4 says, and listen carefully, the wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. That means you have the authority over your spouse's body. It not only involves you, it falls under the direct line of authority given to you by God himself. Right? So go to your spouse and talk to them. And if that doesn't work, biblically, you should come to the church. It's not tattling on your spouse. It's handling this the way God has set forth to handle it. It's a way to save your marriage. Another reason might be a past offense. Sometimes that can block intimacy in marriage, right? This next one I'm going to tread very lightly on. Because sometimes when one partner has in some way been unfaithful, the other person can't bring themselves to forgive them fully to have sex with them again, at least not in a regular, healthy way. You're going to hear me use a whole lot of ifs here, right? If true repentance has taken place, not just in words, but in behavior and behavioral changes, and if you have willingly decided to take them back into the marriage, the next step is restoring the marriage and the intimacy in a healthy sexual relationship. You cannot accept your spouse back in order to hold them in guilt. Now, I'm not saying trust will be there. I'm not saying the relationship will go back to being the same. Only that if you've decided to save your marriage, you need to save it according to God's plan, right? By following the way that he's laid this out. It will take time to restore, but at least put it on the right path, on God's path, and not the one that you think you're creating. Satan just loves to remind us of the sin of others. Because it destroys intimacy, it destroys relationships, and he would love nothing more than to destroy a marriage rather than it giving glory to God. Another type of past offense was exactly what we were talking about earlier, when sex is used as a weapon against you, the way that God did not intend it to be used. Let me tell you what I learned this week. At different times in our lives, I learned that we have survival skills that we use, and we do whatever it is we need to do in order to survive. And if someone has used sex against you, then what you need to do to survive is to detach yourself from that emotionally. You have to do it. It's the right thing. It made sense. But in marriage, God created it to attach to someone else. He created it for intimacy. He created it for vulnerability. And it doesn't matter what the reason is up there. If any of these areas are creeping up in your bedroom, let me encourage you to talk to your spouse, and if you need it, to get professional help. It is possible, it is, to enjoy sexual intimacy in your marriage again through the help and love of Jesus Christ. It's not going to be a memory eraser, but it can be a fresh start. It's not going to look like everyone else's bedroom, but God will make it what it needs to be for you and for your spouse, and he wants to do that. I love the song that we sang. Or we listened to, we watched right up here. Welcome home. Christ, come into my heart. I can't do this, but he can. He not only can, but he wants to do it. Last purpose of sex and marriage. And I've saved the best for last. Pleasure. Song of Solomon 1:2. Kiss me and kiss me again, for your love is sweeter than wine. Did you know that an entire book of the Bible in the Old Testament is dedicated to the subject of passion and sex for pleasure? I didn't when I was younger, because I got to tell you, if I knew that, I'd have a whole lot more of the Bible memorized when I was young. It just is what it is. I didn't know. It is so detailed in its intention of using sexual pleasure in marriage that I can't really show what I want to show up there on that screen. Because the sexual innuendos are so clear. Now, I'm not shy. It's not that I don't want to put it up there for that reason. I just know that as soon as I put it up there on that screen, I've lost half of you. You're not going to listen to me at all. In the olden days, Hebrew boys were not even allowed to read this book until they were 12 years old, right? Because that's when they became a man, if that's not a scary thought. But it's clear in Scripture that God intended sex to be for pleasure. These feelings that we have, these sexual longings for pleasure, were created in us by God. manipulated by Satan and the world, yes, but created by God. And God has also created a way and a place and a time for us to experience that pleasure, and it is in the context of marriage. In the marriage bedroom with your husband or wife, in a regular relationship of intimacy and connection, where your marriage grows, and so does your love for one another. Where when people look at you, they think, that's puppy love, that must be brand new, and you say, no, I'm just following God's plan for my marriage. And it can get better and better. That's God's plan for sex in marriage. It's a good plan. Actually, it's a great plan. It's a plan that, when used the way he intended it to be used, brings love and family and intimacy and pleasure in your lives, in your marriage. These things up here should characterize the marriages in this church, in every church. That's God's will for your marriage, and sex is a part of helping us achieve that. If you look at this world and the way their marriages are headed and the divorce rates that are going on, it's incredible. Why? Because the world, and sadly even in the church, has not bought into God's plan. They've bought into their own plan of sex and marriage. But let me tell you, God's plan for marriage for you starts before you are married. It starts by buying into this plan for sex. It starts by being obedient in the bedroom before you ever meet your spouse. Think about it. What kind of marriage do you want? If you're not married yet, dream about it. Think about it. How close do you want to be to your spouse? What do you want that relationship to be like? You want it to start on fire and then fade slowly? Or do you want it to keep burning? Because that's God's plan for it. Do you want your marriage to be what the world has created? Or do you want love and family and intimacy and pleasure to characterize your relationship with your spouse? Setting the foundation starts today. No matter how old you are, and no matter how far away the marriage is, or if you're in it right now. You know, Satan has a plan for ruining marriages, because he likes to do that. He wants to destroy anything that gives God glory. And sex is in an arena where he is great at manipulating, let me tell you. He is skilled at getting us to want it so badly that it leads us astray from God. But he's also really good at getting us to not want it so badly that it drives a wedge between us and our spouse, and it drives a wedge between us and God. He knows how strong that sexual drive is in each one of us. He knows God created us for pleasure, and he uses it against us. It's like a great opponent in war or sports. He knows our weaknesses, and he plans to attack there. You know, I talked about, at the beginning, reclaiming the topic of sex from the world. I'd also like us to picture us cutting the ties and manipulation that Satan and the world has for controlling us through our sex drives. Picture that came to me this week was like a robot. We all have like a sex panel, and if you open it up, it's got two buttons, on and off. Satan loves to push our buttons. He loves to turn us on at the wrong time. He loves to turn us off at the wrong time. And he does quite a good job at manipulating us. And we let it happen. Why? Because we're Christian, and we don't like to talk about that kind of thing. You might have had the talk, but perhaps it should be an ongoing conversation. We don't ask each other enough, hey, how are things going in the bedroom? Right now, half of you are thinking, what a ridiculous question that is to ask. Where would I ever find the right place to ask that question? Perhaps you need to find an accountability partner where you make it safe to ask that question. Perhaps you need to ask, is there a problem with pornography? Is there a problem with masturbation? Is there a problem with anything else going on in your life? I would guess last week when Carrie talked about looking in the closet of our hearts that for a lot of people, it was sexual sin that was inside that closet. Right? It really doesn't matter where you place it. In the closet, in the bedroom, it's just semantics, right? This sermon series is just an image to help us deal with the issues that need to be dealt with as we try to grow closer to who God wants us to be, to help us surrender areas of our lives that we have not surrendered to him yet. Now, I don't know what that looks like for each person in this room. You know, we've talked about a lot of different possibilities. Some of us maybe have bought into the world's plan for sex, and you have strayed away from the way that God intended it. Perhaps you need to recommit yourselves to him today. Recommit yourself to his plan for your life, for sex. Some of us perhaps have strayed away somewhere in our marriages, emotionally, physically. Maybe we've detached ourselves and are not experiencing intimacy the way God wants us to. Perhaps we need to spend some time in awkward conversation. And let me tell you, it's going to be awkward conversation with your spouse. But that kind of marriage and the plan that God has for you, it's worth an awkward conversation, right? Perhaps you might want to recommit yourself to your marriage or to God's plan for your marriage. Or perhaps if you've been hurt by others and you need to bring healing to that part of your life, and you need to recommit yourself to God's grace that he has for you. You need to refamiliarize yourself with the love that he has ready to just lavish you with and the healing that comes from that. Don't miss the opportunity to reach out and ask someone to help you reclaim your marriage or reclaim your life for Christ. It is no mistake that this topic is being preached here and that you are sitting in the church while we're talking about sex openly, right? God wants to heal you. God wants to heal your marriages. God wants you on his plan. He's got a wonderful plan, and he wants it to include every room in your heart, even the bedroom. Actually, not even the bedroom, especially the bedroom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess to you that many times we leave you out of our bedrooms. We have become so uncomfortable with this topic that we don't talk about it or hold each other accountable the way we do with other sins. But here today, Father, as a church, we want to surrender this area to you. We speak on behalf of the people that are here in this room and the Northsiders that are not here right now. We want to commit ourselves to the life that you have planned for us. And we thank you, Father, that it's such a good plan. We pray that you would show us the way to recommit ourselves and our marriages to you. And please, Father God, bring the healing where there needs to be healing. I know when we are hurt in a sexual way, it often is embarrassing and hard to talk about, but Satan loves to keep us in bondage over that. Keep our marriages and us from being who you've created us to be, Father. And we pray today that you would break those chains that keep us in sexual bondage. We pray that you would empower us through your Holy Spirit to reclaim this topic for our church. Help us to place it in the right place. We pray for every person in this room who has yet to meet the person that they are going to marry, Father, that you would give them the power to stay on your plan, to fight that temptation. We ask for your protection in Jesus' name. Help us place this topic of sex right back where it belongs as a part of your plan, and enable us, Father, to speak truth into each other's lives. I pray that you would bless our marriages, future and present, that we would be dedicated to bringing you joy in this area of our life. Thank you, Father, for your word that gives us insight and guidance into all areas. Please, please be Lord over our bedrooms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.